PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Chris Crespo. I'm chilling in the Cinema Crespediso studio with Drew Cogburn. Drew,
what up?
And we are doing a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. It's our spillover bonus episode where the things that the movie, it's usually the movie news stories that didn't fit into the previous episode because I try to keep those Sunday episodes between 90 and 120 minutes. But this one is almost the opposite. It's the reverse. We did practically no segments this past weekend because it was our first ever road episode. It was a Crespediso to go.
Yes, it was. And it was short and sweet.
It was short and sweet, 30 minutes.
Just like to go stuff is.
Quick, get in, get out. If it was too short for your liking, well, then listen to it twice. But in order to make up for that, we are going to throw a whole bunch of segments into this one and see how quickly we can do a shortened version of our normal show that we do on weekends. Mm-hmm. So, Drew...
Chris.
That means we start with...
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso Streaming!
That's right, the Cinema Crespediso Streaming Pick of the Week begins now with Drewster Cogburn. Full disclosure, Drew reached into the box and did the Pick of the Week right before I hit record, so without further ado.
Well, you see, oddly enough, somebody was listening to the soundtrack today at work. And I was like, really? That's what we're listening to?
Oh, really? That's funny.
And now it's the Pick of the Week.
Ah, so the universe was trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
You didn't even know we were doing a Pick of the Week today.
Nope. But the universe told me what it was already.
That is hysterical.
Uh-huh.
Time flows backwards.
Yeah, man. And it's Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Someone was listening.
Dude, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there working, all of a sudden I'm walking through and I hear, let's duet. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's amazing. Wow, that's incredible. All right, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. Very underrated comedy, I think. John C. Reilly as a mixture of... He's essentially Johnny Cash because it's right around Walk the Line.
Yeah, but it... But
it's spoofing the genre.
So he spoofs him. He spoofs Elvis, obviously.
There's a little bit of... but he spoofs the Ray movie a little bit.
Yeah, spoofs a little bit of the Beatles.
Yes, he did.
He drops acid with the Beatles.
Drops acid with the Beatles. My favorite is the spoof of Brian Wilson creating pet sounds, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Just going insane. Yep. And he's like, it sounds like he's recording 5 albums at once. They're just screaming over him, and he's got a big beard, and he's just orchestrating everything maniacally. Yeah, man, that's a fun movie. I really, really enjoy it.
It's the little stuff like that that really makes Walk Hard... one of my favorites.
I think maybe the reason it's not more popular is because it does help to have a bit of a more of a general knowledge of music history, rock and roll history, because Dewey Cox inexplicably has a career that spans like 60 years, so it covers
every genre of music.
Yeah, so it gets all of it in there into the movie. But yeah, man, it's a great, great movie. Yeah. And that someone was listening to that, it's hysterical.
Let's do it.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, well, there you go. Dewey Cox, Walk Hard, colon, the Dewey Cox story. On what? What is it on?
Netflix.
Netflix. There we go, guys. Enjoy. Time to talk some money. Box office recap. All right, enough of that. Here we go.
Number five this week.
Number five.
50 Shades Freed.
50 Shades Freed.
Made $7.14 million. A total of 89. On a budget of 55.
55?
Yeah.
You know what? It's not going to make as much as the first one. The first one was hot off the success of the book. But just like the books, actually, you know, that first book was very popular. Mm-hmm. The second one, the two and three, like, people just finished them almost out of obligation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same kind of fervor as for the first one.
Probably same thing with the movies. Unfortunately, I mean, people seemed to really, really like the books. Not so many people really, really like the movie.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, any movie, practically any movie, have its impassioned defenders. If you don't think so, just pick a bad movie, go to Amazon.com, click on reviews, and click on five-star reviews. There's going to be one or two when they're genuine.
Yeah.
Delicious. But yeah, it's going to make about as much money as the second one, maybe a little more. And in the long run, is that a win? No. I don't know. We'll see when they greenlight the 50 Shades of Grey Showtime series. There we go. Calling it.
Number four this week.
Crespo Domus has spoken.
Annihilation. Made $11.07 million. Same as total. Budget of $40 million. That must have all gone to special effects.
Yeah, mostly special effects, a little bit for the cast. I mean, Portman and Isaac cost a couple of bucks, but they may have also agreed to maybe work for union wages. We don't know. We're not sure what the deal is with this movie.
Well, I mean,
they could have worked for scale wage.
So this guy has made, he's made Annihilation. He made Ex Machina. He made, what do you think before that?
He wrote Dread, and he has been a writer for years.
Yeah. Okay, Dread. So, but
some people are asking him if he wants to remake The Beach since he wrote the '90s one.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interestingly enough, Oscar Isaac's been in the last two.
Yes, they've worked together. Maybe one of these things where they enjoy working together.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, does DiCaprio charge Scorsese full price?
I guarantee you they have a sit down. Like, all right, how much money can we make off this? Like, what is my limit for? Huh, do I have to go union, or can I make a couple of bucks here, bud?
Maybe that's a bad example, because both of those people can command their top salaries
exactly
from their own budgets anyway. Annihilation. That's not that much money. I would urge people to go see this.
Well, I think
whether or not you're gonna like it, I would urge you to just see it.
I mean.
You may not like it, but it's good.
Man, the trailer with the imagery in there, I think it might put people off. It's weird, man. Weird in such a good and, for me, a really fun way.
I've enjoyed it very much. And then, you know, we say it's weird, but we also have a wider context for what weird is.
Yeah.
A wider frame of reference. So while we do call this weird, it's also on, like, the shallow end of the weird spectrum.
Oh, I mean,
you know, I don't think it's weird to the point of inaccessibility.
No, definitely. I mean, it's still
a mainstream sci-fi movie. It's just like on the fringes of that mainstream for sure on the fringes.
On the fringes of the mainstream. I mean,
pushing the audience to like meet you somewhere.
But for the people, for the stuff that I like, like you were saying, this is definitely like the shallow end.
Yeah, it's not like Under the Skin where they're like, they're going to throw you in the deep end. Yeah,
they're just, have fun!
Hey, you guys remember that thing called Exposition? We don't. Here we go. Check this movie out. Apparently, it's not getting that great. The signposts are confusing. You know, we've talked about Cinema Score before. Yeah. Those jerks that stand outside the movie theater with clipboards.
Mm-hmm, and ask you blah, blah, blah.
And they harass you to try to get your opinion. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, you think I'm going to give you my opinion now for free? I do a podcast. I'm just going to give it to you now. Like, the second you walk out of the theater, too. So it's really just judging initial reactions. Mm-hmm. And which, I walked out of the theater for Green Lantern. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't bad. It's a terrible movie. Yeah. It's terrible. But if I had answered, yeah, it wasn't bad, then no, this person liked it. It has a C cinema score, okay. Annihilation, which is not good. Not good. But then the context, Black Panther, A+.
Yeah.
Mother, F.
See, there we go.
Yeah. But then there are also some generally bad movies I get,
and
F's
then
too.
I mean,
and some generally great ones I get A pluses.
And the great thing, like in my eyes, all three of those movies that you just named, all A's, all for different reasons.
For different reasons, they all exist in different. Yeah, exactly. But on top of, but it's still on IMDb. It has a score of 8 out of 10. But the people who would maybe vote on IMDb may be more likely to be like sci-fi movie fans to go that extra distance and do something like that, as opposed to your average moviegoer.
I mean, I'll tell you what, if you like science fiction at all, this is definitely something that you should see.
I think so.
I mean, if you like biology at all, this is something that you should see. If you like staring at pretty things that may or may not be dead, you should watch this thing.
Go see it.
I mean,
just go see it. Just go see it.
Go see Annihilation. It's worth watching.
Absolutely. There we go. So that was number
four.
What? four.
Number three this week, Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit
made an additional $12.7 million, total of 71 on a budget of 50.
Man, Peter Rabbit, benefiting from the fact that there really hasn't been a family movie out since December, I think.
And it's got the domino.
And it's got the domino. It's got the domino for us if we ever want to watch it. Apparently, there's some sort of joke in the movie about weaponizing a food allergy. You know, just imagine like someone has a peanut allergy, then you throw a peanut at them, something like that, something silly like that. And man, some parents groups got pissed.
I'm sure they did.
But what are you gonna do? The information age. Everyone's got access to the. Everyone's got the bullhorn. Everyone has the bullhorn. No one has the bullhorn. That's how that works.
That just means everybody. Whoever's bullhorn's the loudest and most annoying is the one you hear.
No, I'm saying everyone's blowing on the same bullhorn, so now it's just white noise. It's just like I don't have a white noise.
Number two this week.
I was looking for a Vuvuzela.
Game Night made $17 million, same as total.
Game Night getting a better cinema score, B-plus cinema score, so voting a little better for its chances. Also, another comedy, this time for adults.
Yep.
I kind of want to see it.
I definitely want to see it. It's got the Bateman. I'm a fan of the Bateman.
Bateman was going to make this his third movie as a director.
But
the writers, the two guys that wrote it, he liked what they were doing, and he was like, you guys want to direct this?
Oh, Lord.
And then I think he just stayed on as producer and star.
Co-star. I mean, I'm sure he probably helped them. You know, if they'd never directed before, maybe.
It's the same. It's their second movie. It's the same two dudes who did Vacation.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And their next movie is something big, and it disappoints me that they're on it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
And obviously, Chris.
I'm going to look it up. Go ahead.
Second week in a row, number one, Black Panther. Another $111 million.
Oh, crazy about that. On Sunday, the estimate put it at $108. So they even underestimated because the actual was $111.
Total $403. Total $411 domestic. Foreign $316. Total $727 worldwide.
That's crazy. Let's go over some stats as per Box Office Mojo here for this amazing box office run in just 10 days. It's the second largest second weekend of all time, besting Jurassic World's 106.5 second weekend. It made more in its second weekend than so many movies making their entire run. That's so wild. We have here...
It's word of mouth, man. Nobody has anything bad to say about it. Everybody's just go see Black Panther!
Yeah, exactly. It is the second fastest film to top $400 million after Jurassic World. It is the fifth highest grossing title so far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It will pass Captain America Civil War.
Hell yeah.
And it will pass Iron Man 3 because those are in the low 400s, 408 and 409. It is the top 30 domestic release of all time in just 10 days, so it's going to keep going up that list. It looked like for a minute there, opening weekend, it looked like $1.3 billion was going to be roughly its worldwide ceiling. Just 1 week later, $1.3 billion is looking like the floor.
Yeah.
The minimum.
Well, there you go.
This is like Fast and Furious with a dead Paul Walker type numbers.
Chris.
It's wild.
It hits all the points. I mean, you got a super awesome African-American superhero.
Yep.
Surrounded by...
Well, technically, African superhero.
Okay.
Played by an African-American.
Yeah, so African, straight-up African superhero.
Yeah.
Surrounded by the strongest, most badass women I think I've ever seen put to film.
Yeah. Black women, too. Yeah.
And they're all... You know, and there are like two token white guys?
J.R. Tolkien white guys, yeah, yes, there
and
are.
And they are two J.R. Yes, they are J.R.R. Tolkien white guys.
The Tolkien white guys. And I like that they really let Andy Serkis just rip with that and like just have fun with it, man.
And he did, too. They both looked like they were having fun.
I love that line where that, going back to the girls, the ladies, I want to go back with that dude was like, there are these Grace Jones looking chicks out here. Anyway. With spears.
One of my favorites was when...
I was like, what? And they walk in. I was like, oh, yeah,
was shows. When Homeboy woke up after getting fixed in Wakanda.
Yes. Martin Freeman.
Yeah, when Martin Freeman wakes up and she starts, you know, he starts talking to her and she's like, she says something to the effect of like, be quiet, colonizer.
Colonizer.
And I'm just like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me, Drew. I gotta start calling white people colonizers.
Yes, they are.
Goddamn colonizers.
Fucking colonizers.
It's such an incredible amount of money, and it is shattering like stereotypes and tropes, and in terms of like can a quote black film money, and especially can a black film sell internationally? It's making just as much internationally.
Same thing with, you know, the women's side of it. I mean, I'm sure lots of ladies worked on this film as well.
Absolutely. It's just a hugely diversified in all the right ways production.
Exactly.
And it's been great. All right, I'm looking at these guys.
And once again, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, this should once and for all prove that, like, listen, you can make movies about this kind of subject matter and people will fucking see it.
Yes. Well, if it's made right. Unfortunately, we are not awash in Ryan Coogler's at this point.
Not.
You know, we're, man, I'm telling you.
Oh, I wish we were, though.
Ever since I saw Fruitvale's ass, this guy's got it. He's good. He's really good.
I still haven't seen Fruitvale Station, but after I saw Creed, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, Fruitvale Station, if you need a good cry, if you want
to...
If you want to connect with humanity right quick there. In a frustrating way. Going back to Game Night and the directors who did that, and Vacation. The movie I'm disappointed that they're attached to is the Flashpoint movie.
Oh.
Yeah, they show no predilection whatsoever for any sort of action. So, but then again, they gave the guy who did Cop Car Spider-Man Homecoming. But Cop Car is a good movie, so...
Yeah.
That was my dubstep remix there. Black Panther's doing amazing. We love it. Well, I mean, it's already on record. We have our spoiler bonus episode. You guys can check that out. All right, new movies coming out in theater. Not in theaters. DVD first. Coco, Darkest Hour, and Three Billboards all came out today.
Okay.
Which makes sense. It's the stupid Oscars are this weekend, so they're capitalizing on that. Murder on the Orient Express also is out. I almost watched it on the plane on the way back from New York.
I was switching between that and some other things just because, dude, Homeboy's mustache. It was not just a mustache. It was a mustache, and then he had a slight beard extension where it was a double stash.
Ooh, fun.
So it was crazy. It was crazy.
I almost watched it, but I was like, I'll listen to podcast instead. I listened to What's the Fuss with Simon Time as a guest, and he told him a bunch of wrestling stories, and they loved all his canned responses for rednecks and stuff. He gave him a bunch of his villain smack talk, and they were digging that. And then I listened to the Simon Time trivia that Etchy produced with Ryan Rocky back from What's the Fuss, and with Steve Etchy's mom as a third contestant, and it was great. I really enjoyed that, so people check those out. New movies on theaters. What's coming on theaters? What's on theaters?
In theaters this week, we've got Death Wish.
Yeah, Death Wish. Eli Roth
and Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. Vinny D's in it.
Awesome.
And Elizabeth Shue, who I haven't seen in a really long time.
We have Elizabeth Shue, a really big shoe. I love Elizabeth Shue. That's fantastic. That makes me want to see it.
I know.
More than anything else about it, actually. problematic movie to be remaking in our current climate. But you know what? Eli Roth, is he a dummy? ?
Period.
I don't know. Am I going to see this? I'm not sure I'm going to see this. Because I'm probably going to want to see this other movie.
Oh, yeah. No, Red Sparrow. 100%.
Red Sparrow. Francis Lawrence.
Francis Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence. No relation.
No relation. No, none whatsoever.
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, right. And I'm trying to think of in the trailer. Was there anyone else that recognized? I think it was just the two of them, right?
Yeah, it's the only people. I mean, I'm sure there's side. Oh, wait. Oh, who was it? Who was the main Soviet guy?
I can't remember.
That was somebody.
Not Dolph Lundgren?
No.
Or Till Schweiger?
No.
Well, then I don't know.
It was somebody.
Yep, apparently it's a very violent movie, and very sexual movie, and Francis Lawrence...
It was Jeremy Irons!
Oh, that's right. I forgot to tell you, Drewster. I am in Red Sparrow.
It was Jeremy Irons.
It was me and Jennifer Irons. Good old Jeremy Irons. Love Jeremy Irons. He, people, you should watch Dead Ringers. Just put that out there for a Crespo Hundo recommendation.
Yes, if you Dead like Ringers. Jeremy Irons. No,
yeah, if you like Jeremy Irons.
If you like Jeremy Irons, definitely watch Dead Ringers.
Definitely watch Dead Ringers.
You know, I put my Drew Strathairn seal of approval on that, 100%. Watch Dead Ringers.
That's the dramatic Drew Strathairn seal of approval drop.
Spoiler alert! The tools in that movie were designed by H.R. Giger.
Not really a spoiler, but I guess it gives you an idea of what it's about. Yes. The medical tools were designed by H.R. Giger. Yes.
So
watch Dead Ringers. That's your pop-up pick of the week.
I hate you so much.
We're going to start doing that now, the pop-up pick of the week.
It was you and Aaron. I watched it with both of you guys at the apartment.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's Aaron because he's the one who introduced it to everyone.
Yeah.
But yes. I put my weight behind that as well. It's like, yes, watch this.
Motherfuckers.
Let's watch this. I want to see Red Sparrow. It's got pretty good buzz. And Francis Lawrence has been a director that has always shown, like, promise. Like, this guy, why can't this guy make something great?
Maybe he will. Maybe he just did.
He's made a few things that are good. Why can't he make things that are great? He's also made a few things that are like, Water for Elephants. Do I really want to watch Reese Witherspoon get stomped by an elephant? Actually, no. Maybe. I like Reese Witherspoon, so I don't actually.
Maybe
that sounds horrifying.
I kind of do.
And it had Rob Pattinson, but before we all realized Rob Pattinson could act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock it, Dad. Good Time. Go watch Good Time. Shit, that movie's great.
People, watch Good Time. All right, there we go. So, yep. Now it's time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Here you go, Doctor. That's enough of that.
Prescription for life this week is to go watch Annihilation. It hasn't made enough money. If you want to see more movies like Annihilation, and you're looking for something new and original because everything's the same, go watch Annihilation. That's something new. It's something original. These movies won't get made unless they get seen. So go see it. Cogburn out.
All right, the Cogburn is out. I like it. We are moving along quickly with.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous.
All right, Drew Congren.
Oh, we got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got an Annihilation and Game Night review.
Nice. All right, here we go.
Annihilation. Did you ever have a girlfriend who is maddeningly obtuse? I don't know why I couldn't say maddeningly.
Maybe because it's not a word.
Maddeningly obtuse, and you could never get a straight answer from her.
There you go.
And she might be trying to kill you. And that's the shit that you love about her. Oh, and she's also fucking gorgeous. That's Annihilation.
Oh.
I think I could watch this film 10 more times and still not fully wrap my head around it. And I love that. So much of the story is subjective, so if you prefer movies that follow a straightforward plot and then wrap things up a neat little bow at the end, you're probably not gonna like this one. I could tell, maybe 40 minutes in, that this was never gonna answer all my questions. Sometimes that feeling pisses me off, but not this time. I was all in, along for the ride, wherever it might go. The unanswered questions are no surprise, really, since the source material is the first of a series of books.
Yep.
Thus, Annihilation left me feeling desperate for a sequel, but I also really dug the overall ambiguity of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch this film again and again to see if I glean any more insight from subsequent viewings, but I think it's also kind of pissed that they did do a sequel because it's just so great by itself.
Yeah.
I may want my questions answered, but do I need them to be? The director has always said he's not making a sequel, and I'm totally cool with that. I'm not sure if I'd even want a sequel that wasn't also done by Garland.
Right.
He's so great.
I agree.
I really wish Black Panther wasn't still hogging all the IMAX screens because Annihilation deserves the biggest, brightest, highest resolution screen possible.
Blame Paramount for not giving Annihilation a better release.
It might even be worth the 3D glasses if it's even available in that format. My cinema had no 3D shows. Visually, it's absolutely brilliant. My only real criticism, the soundtrack. The focusy guitar song choices seemed out of place for such a dark, intense story. Those songs really killed the mood when they came on. I don't understand that choice. Anyways, can't wait to see it again. And again, 3.5 stars.
When that little guitar ditty popped up, I did think of Inside Llewyn Davis.
Because it was Oscar Isaac. No, I know. I get it.
What are you going to do?
and Game Night.
All right.
And now to a movie that will never, ever require a second viewing. Game
yeah.
Night.
Yeah.
The trailer's already told you everything. The only question left was, would there be a few gags and twists in the story that would make it a little more enjoyable from what you've already expected? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the answer is yes.
Okay.
There's only a few of them, but the non-trailer characters and moments do add just enough to the experience, that, and that, I'm actually for giving it an extra half star. Kudos, Game Night. Kudos. 2.5 stars. Take care, guys, and congratulations on the nuptials, Billy D. Scott.
What's up, Scott? We appreciate it, buddy. I'm sure Billy D appreciates it as well. Actually, Billy D gave everyone, all your listeners, a nice shout-out the end of...
You actually heard his voice.
You actually got to hear his voice and the voice of his wife.
Yeah.
And who was that dude? Her brother?
Her brother,
Her brother.
That was her brother.
That was her brother.
Uh-huh.
So his brother-in-law.
Yes.
Ah,
his new brother-in-law.
That's how that works,
Chris. Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right, Scott, we appreciate it. Thanks for sending your email, and sorry we didn't do it in the last episode. We know how it goes. We got it done here. All right, well, Drew.
Chris.
Where is that button? Oh, here it is.
Check out Justin Timberlake and...
All right, Justin Timberlake is doing his thing. Good for him. Movie news. Drew Chicago movie
What about
news.
A Biebs update? Chris, Biebs update.
Justin Bieber has not been seen lately in terms of, like, dating or whatever. I think him and Selena are still on the low-low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're together, but they're not flaunting it. I think it's a lot of church stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really think he's fallen into that shirt, that weird, like, what do you call it? It's like a cult of personality type thing. Charisma is like a charismatic. God, there's a charisma preacher. There's a word.
Really,
phrase.
The preacher has more charisma than the Biebs.
No, yeah, I'm saying the preacher has this like aura of everyone is following him and not, you know, the word of God. You know, he's the leader. You know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, it's very, very suspect, I gotta say.
Anybody that into religion is suspect.
I would think so. Like that into it.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's like, why? Yeah. James Mangold, director of Logan, not a fan of comic book movies, superhero movies, still did Wolverine and Logan because he was sold on it by Hugh Jackman.
I was about to say, which is probably why...
Why Logan
wasn't a comic book movie.
Yeah, Wolverine was.
I mean, yeah, Logan was so much more than that, Chris.
It was more. It's funny how... Yeah, it's like... It was like Unforgiven meets Shane meets just like all these other movies, and none of them were superhero movies.
Yeah.
The Wolverine was like the stepping stone, though. It was a hard PG-13.
It was, and the story was good.
It was good. The ending. I don't know. I feel like once it introduces the Silver Samurai, I like it on paper, but there's just something about it's not working.
It's comic book.
It's just too comic booky. It's just him now has to fight a bigger thing. It's like a video game where he gets to the big boss at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It feels flat. Black Panther overcomes that just by having like solid themes and great characters and like a good story that's moving forward. So by the time it does get to suit versus suit, at least you're sold now on Killmonger's plan and on the stakes and what everyone's trying to do.
And you know he's physically capable.
You know,
he's because
they've already established that he's pretty much as equal.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes,
and they both ingested the flower.
Yes.
So
badass. Badass. So anyway, James Mangold, who is a director for years, a lot like Francis Lawrence. I feel like he's a guy who should have been making better movies, and for some reason they all are like good, but Copland is like my prime example of this should have been Goodfellas, Casino. I mean, that's obviously what they're trying to do with the cast and the subject matter set in New York.
It just didn't work.
Just isn't. It's fine. It's just not that good. 3 Tens of Yuma is another one.
Yeah. Oh, God, I wish that movie had been the cast, the everything. It was all so close.
And it looks fine. It has good stuff in it.
Ben Foster. Come on.
Ben Foster is like crazy bad guy. What wild casting. He's looking a little fat. Like, where was the movie? You just saw him in. Where he's looking a little thick.
Right. Oh.
You just saw him in something. He popped up. Hostiles.
Yes, he was in Hostiles. Oh, once again, with he's in a Western with...
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
If I had to choose between watching 3:10 to Yuma again and Hostiles, I would watch Hostiles.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
I mean, that mustache. I was waiting for the mustache to pull a revolver.
I would watch Christian Bale cry over that mustache 1,000 times over whatever happened in 3:10 to Yuma. But anyway, so Mangold finally makes a great movie with Logan.
Yeah.
And then he has this quote that I wanted to read because it's something I've been saying for a while about PG-13 movies. He's saying about PG.
Mm-hmm.
I think he means PG-13. He says, I have a lot of misgivings about violence and PG ratings. A PG film might show hundreds of people dying, falling off buildings, getting mowed down by rapid-fire guns, but you don't feel the deaths because the rating system dictates the amount of agony being played by the actor in a weird way that makes violence more palatable, because when we excise the upsetting bits, we desensitize ourselves to death to the point where it's almost like shooting ducks at a carnival. I've been saying that for a while,
yeah.
But I really like the way he summed it up there. Yeah. Ducks at a carnival. That's exactly what's going on there.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on. We are pussyfooting around showing violence to kids, and then when something like Parkland happens...
I was just about to say.
They're like, our media is too violent, so we have to restrict what we're doing. Donald Trump suggested, of course, because he says... He's a first thought, best thought kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not into edits, second
nope.
drafts.
Mm-mm.
So he spits out, we should start censoring our movies, and, you know, you should start censoring everything, restricting things. A fucking piece of shit.
Mm.
Yeah. It's the sense of you provide all this PG-13 bullshit violence. Meanwhile, don't show a nipple on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare show a vagina.
And you can't say fuck.
If you say fuck, then 1,000 heads of kids explode in the Midwest. Fuck.
Oh man, that's the way it worked, Chris.
Not if the kids, only. Though. No, we need the kids. The kids are the kids.
Yeah,
are
but if
the
we
future.
Do it to the adults and the kids are left to fend for themselves, they're just gonna die anyway.
All the strong ones will. Anyway, that's a whole lot. So I agree with Mangold. We've been saying this for a while on Cinema Crespity. So Marvel is a perpetrator of this kind of stuff. All these huge action movies. So many Avengers. How many people are going to die? Everyone's going to die in Avengers.
Everybody.
Literally, everyone's going to die.
Everybody.
There's going to be a point where literally everyone dies.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, at least an entire planet's worth of sentient beings will be destroyed.
For sure. Minimum one.
Yeah.
Minimum yes. one.
Whether they're humans or not, that remains to be seen.
Many humans will die, though.
Oh, but, oh yeah.
Thousands. But yes, minimum one planet of beings will die.
Yeah. Sentient beings.
Now, on the back of that story, how PG-13, they're really not showing blood. They're showing violence, but mm-hmm. no consequences.
Yeah.
Mowgli, the Andy Serkis-produced, directed version of The Jungle Book,
mm-hmm.
which is not the Disney Jungle Book.
No.
No songs.
Nope.
No dancing. No sitting on Baloo's stomach while he floats down on his back in the river.
No bear necessities.
No bear necessities. This Mowgli, this movie called Mowgli, this Jungle Book, is PG-13 as opposed to mm-hmm. Disney's PG. And the MPAA description is for, quote, intense sequences of action violence, including bloody images and some thematic elements.
Sweet. So he's gonna have. What, he's gonna be fight. What, is he actually gonna fight Shao Kahn?
He's gonna have to fight all the animals. Oh, it's a jungle, man. I'm not looking forward to the snake stuff.
Oh, no,
I'm gonna go see this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you motion capture a snake character rolling around? Like, just squeaking. I want to see Andy Serkis in a sock leotard with his arms like, and then a
yeah,
bunch of balls
much.
On him, and just like rolling around.
Yeah,
like, trying to squinch his body like a worm, and everyone just looking at Andy like, dude, we'll just paint it in, man. You can do the voice.
Nope. I am the snake.
This is the crap.
I am the snake.
Catwoman. I love watching Catwoman whenever it's on TV. It's usually on the WE Network, Women's mm-hmm. Entertainment, hysterically. Because the bad guy is Sharon Stone. The bad lady is Sharon Stone, and she owns a makeup company. She's trying to destroy the control
so,
the world through makeup.
So
it's hysterical.
It's so bad.
So hysterical.
It's so bad.
I watch it initially because how did this get made in an episode?
Uh-huh.
And those episodes of their shows work better when you see the movie,
yeah.
if you have the same reference points. So that's how I end up watching a lot of bad movies. And honestly, it's a good reason to watch bad movies,
yeah.
I think. More people should watch purposefully
well,
more
you,
bad movies.
You have to know what's bad so you know what's good.
Exactly.
So when you see something that's amazing, you're like, okay, no, I've seen shit. This
yeah.
is...
Like, how did they do that? Like, I've even seen good movies. Like, yeah. how did they do that? That's incredible. So I watch Catwoman whenever it's on because it's like, ah, this is hysterical, so stupid and dumb.
It's awful.
I still... It's in chunks, it's entertaining. In that sort of like, it's so bad, it's ridiculous sort of way. Anyway, one of the writers, they've been trying to make this Catwoman solo movie going all the way back to Michelle Pfeiffer in the Tim Burton movies,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
It's a popular character.
Yeah.
Has been since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
John Rogers was a writer, and according to him, this was on Twitter, someone asked him a question,
mm-hmm.
and according to him, he said, full disclosure, I was fired off the movie after writing the green light draft because I kept arguing with notes that make the movie, quote, very, very bad, end quote, which I said out loud, period, at meetings, period. I got fired a lot in my 30s. So he wrote a draft of the screenplay that the studio was like, this is good enough to green light.
Yeah.
And then when they started making it, the studio was like, notes, changes, changes, change that. He's like, all these ideas are bad. And they're like, you are fired.
So he's like, okay.
Okay. Your movie's going to suck. Guess what? Movie sucks. Sucks.
Yep.
And now people only talk about it derisively. Meanwhile, Hook, one of Steven Spielberg's lesser liked films.
Seriously? You want to know how you make a good Catwoman movie, Chris?
Oh.
I already know how to do it.
Oh.
You start off, you kind of rewrite the character, and you basically just make a awesome little crime movie about a quote-unquote cat burglar.
Mm-hmm.
She just happens to, at the end, probably, you know, fuck all the cat shit and her half-dead stuff. I mean, whatever.
Oh, that's from the Burton movies.
Yeah, from the Burton movies. Fuck all that shit. No, she's a cat burglar. She's got cool goggles. Doesn't even need a cat suit. She can just wear fucking skin-tight whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe at the end, she comes across like a bat figure or something. But do not put Batman in the story unless he has to be there. This is a Catwoman movie.
Straight up Catwoman. Which is what they tried to do with the Halle Berry one, but then they rewrote it to a point where it didn't even resemble anything from the comic.
It shouldn't be a super. It should be more taken the approach of like Ant-Man.
All right. Yeah. What is the character? The character is a cat burglar. So make a story based on that. What would a cat burglar? It's like make the. I want Catwoman made in the vein of Michael Mann's Thief.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
Okay. I'm in.
Boom.
I'm in.
That is a good Catwoman movie.
All right, there you go. I'll cut out that section of audio. We'll put it in an envelope. We'll mail it to us, and then we got the copyright on that. That's how that works. Steven Spielberg talked about his 1991 film, Hook.
Not bad.
You don't think it's bad? I don't like it that much. I remember seeing it in theaters and be like,
I mean, Robin Williams is an odd choice.
It was an odd choice.
It's a little...
Well, it made sense, though, because it's a comedy that they wanted
to do. Was...
Boyish exuberance.
It was a little...
Cocaine equals cocaine.
I liked the almost fantasticalness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It made it... Dude, this is a really fucking weird movie.
It's a very weird movie. A lot of big scenes, big production design, all that stuff, right?
I mean, Rufio, come on.
Rufio's a big character, right? Just the design of him.
Dustin Hoffman... Who the fuck played Smee?
Bob Hoskins.
Oh, that's why it was so good.
From Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Rewatching Hook. The only reason to rewatch Hook really is to see...
the ending sucks.
Yeah, the ending sucks. Well, the only reason to watch it is to see Dustin Hoffman and Bob Hoskins play those two characters, Smee and Hook. Because they played them as an old married couple, like two old queens.
I'm sure.
And if you go back and watch it, there's scenes where they're arguing with each other, but Smee is like he's fixing Cook's clothes and putting on makeup, and the way they look at each other, it's like, oh, these guys are gay for each other.
Yeah, they are.
They totally shot like they were gay for each other. That was their actor's secret that they shared. Anyway, Steven Spielberg had this to say, and this is after he made Jaws, Close Encounters, Indiana Jones 1, 2, and 3, right? He's already hugely successful on Hook. I felt like a fish out of water making Hook. I didn't have confidence in the script. I had confidence in the first act, and I had confidence in the epilogue. I didn't have confidence in the body of it. I didn't quite know what I was doing, and I tried to paint over my insecurity with production value.
Which it's probably why it's like Spielberg's quote-unquote, like, it's
one of his
prettiest movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
It is so...
Spent a lot of time making it look like the way it did and making the sets and the whole scene with the food and all that crap, right?
Yeah.
But what's the movie about, though, Steve? What's it about? Come on, buddy.
It's a okay retelling of Peter Pan.
Exactly. Joss Whedon left Batgirl. He was going to write it, direct it, left it. He put out a statement saying why. Kind of honest reason why, he says. Batgirl is such an exciting project, and Warner's DC such collaborative and supportive partners, that it took me months to realize I really didn't have a story. I'm grateful to Geoff Johns and Toby Emmerich and everyone who was so welcoming when I arrived, and so understanding when I... is there a sexier word for failed? So... He didn't have a Batgirl story. He signed on thinking
he had something.
Thinking he could come up with something. Yeah. Who's that? bit off a little more than he could chew. Spielberg went to make Hook. It's like, I can't do this. He made all those movies.
But we're making it.
He made all those movies. It's like, wow, I'm floundering on Hook, but we're still going to go through it. Joss Whedon's like, I think I have a bad girl story. It takes some months to realize, no, I don't.
You know what? I don't.
Which is weird. Wouldn't you just get, like, a Batgirl
that's what I'm saying.
Book and just read everything?
Go buy a graphic novel and be like, you know what? This is the story.
Yeah, this is it. Like,
this one.
Like, I can expand this into 120 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Why don't... I mean, it's already storyboarded there and everything for you.
Which then makes me think that he read through all that stuff and was like, I am not connecting with this character.
Probably.
Barbara Gordon?
Yeah.
Last story. Wrap it up with this. Fox. The deal with Disney expected to go through. You know, it takes a while for something that big to be finalized, but it's all being worked on. It hasn't happened yet. It's not official, but it's being worked on. In the meantime, Fox is continuing making movies like it's like business as normal, right? So they've announced a Doctor Doom movie. They are working on a, quote, secret. It's not secret anymore. Secret's out. A Silver Surfer movie.
Yeah, it's being written by Brian K. Vaughan.
Which is being, like, you, Drew. You already knew that.
Mm-hmm. Finish him.
Good job, Drew. It's written by your boy, BKV.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the only reason why I keep tabs on that motherfucker. He's the writer.
Got a Google alert set for him. And New Mutants was part of the reshoots. It was not only to make it scarier, but to include a new character.
Scarier? Okay.
Yeah, so they wanted to make New Mutants scarier and include a whole new character into the movie. So that's why they're doing reshoots on that. So they are plowing forward with these movies that are all Marvel characters with the Disney merger looming, like, large
it's
over
right
them.
There.
Yeah, so...
Well, I guarantee you somebody is trying to get what they wanted to do out of the way before they lose their job.
Yeah, before us, Disney shows up, before Mickey Mouse shows up, and he's like...
Ha you little fuckers, you get the hell out of here! I own this shit!
Throws down a cardboard box.
Clear out your desk!
Like, damn it.
You got 30 minutes before security kicks you out.
Ah, the Mouse House. They're brutal. They'll do that to you.
Dude, you've seen the episode of South Park.
I saw that episode of South
Park. Yeah, that's the way it works. Like, every once in a while, Mickey just blows up to a giant balloon and blows fire on everybody over here in Orlando. Nobody talks about it, and it's not in the news.
You know.
Because...
They on the news.
Oh, shit. They're going to find out, Chris.
I'll cut this part out of the show.
The Mickey Finger Men are coming.
The Finger...
They're coming for us! The Mickey Finger Men are coming for us!
And they got those big white gloves.
They do.
Big fingers. Scary. Yeah, so Fox is making the Marvel movies.
Even like the tactical squads that come with the fucking shotgun, they're all black, but you see mouse ears and they're wearing white gloves.
White gloves and mouse ears on their tactical helmets. Give themselves away. All right. There we go. All right, about 40 minutes. They're a little over 40 minutes.
That's how you know it's the Mickey Army coming to get you, Chris.
The Mickey Army's coming, guys. The Mickey Army's coming. We did half a show in about half.
The time.
Half the time.
There we go. Half a show, half the time. We're on par.
I guess, yeah. God, I'm going to have to shake things. I'm going to work on some new things in the year here in 2018. Okay, well, that's it. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419, some places on the internet. I'm around, or, maybe I'm not.
Or maybe not. Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Come to our PFT Media Party March 24th. It's a Saturday at the Copper Rocket Pub. It starts at 5 p.m. Wrapping up around 8:30, 9 o'clock. Drink some beers. We're gonna have giveaways, talk, podcast, movies, and whatever you want with us. It's gonna be a lot of fun. All right, that's it. We're done.
A PFT Media production.